believe this is on.
Yes, on.
Okay. Before I begin, I want to make sure that all hearts are clear.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not asking you if you've got drama. I'm just asking if you've got a testimony of the Lord. Does anybody have anything that they need to say about the Lord? Just want to make sure that all hearts are clear. Okay. That's good.
I remember when my brother was two, and he was in the hospital.
Yes.
And I remember on the way to the beach with my family, with my brother in the hospital, I was 4 hours away worried about my brother.
Yeah.
And I know those doctors could not have helped him, and it was all God that helped him.
That's right. That's right. That's good. That's good. When I said that I believe the children of God ought to bring something to the house of God.
Yes.
I mean it. I believe we ought to bring our bodies. I believe we ought to bring our attention. I believe we ought to bring our praises. But at the same time, David spoke and said that he would pay his vows in the congregation. You ever thought about what that is? How many times have you told the Lord, I'll give you the glory? Have you ever said that? Well, where are you going to do that? Amen. This is where you give him the glory. And so, again, I'm not trying to drum up something that's not there. If you just have theatrics, keep them for Facebook. Amen. I don't need it. And neither is anybody else. But if you have a testimony of what the Lord's done for you, it's not just that I want to hear it. It's that those around you need to hear it.
Amen.
Amen. Does anybody else have anything on their heart this evening?
I'd like to thank the Lord for saving man.
Yes.
Talking to Brother Hyatt on Thursday after work.
Yes.
Boss man looked at me and he said, some things were going to not line up right and we're going to be behind on something and we're going to need about 2 hours worth of work and it's going to land on something today. And
right.
He said that there's no way around it if everything lands the way it's supposed to. And sure enough, on my way home, I called Candace on the way home and told her about that. And me and her both prayed about it. And Friday at the midst of work, stuck heat on this thing. It had to melt. And one of the rail cars connects to the train. And most of the time when it melts, it goes from the outside in. And Aaron said this has never happened the day in the time he worked there.
But
it started from the very center. And it melted around the valve for me to be able to unload it.
About
where I can be here today.
Amen.
Amen. Her, I told her, I said, if he wants to be here, he'll be here.
That's right. That's right.
In the midst of it, he said this morning, he said, during the tribulation, you don't see the purpose.
That's right.
And I mean, it really hit me. I felt about it, and I kind of was at peace about it. And I said,
yes,
God wouldn't make it at peace for me not to be in church if he wasn't going to buy some way to make it out. And I didn't know how he's going to do it, but sure enough,
that's right.
Amen. Amen. I was like, thank the Lord for coming by and shows me that he's still there.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
He's still working. He's still
right.
That's right. We don't see where he's at. He's still good. We don't
deserve a business. That's right.
And I'm glad that I can be here. I've enjoyed every minute of this day. Lord, you really blessed me today. I really needed this, and the Lord knew I needed it.
Hey,
you know I needed to be here, and he knew that I needed just a little bit of help on Friday. I don't miss the work, and I mean, it really blessed my heart.
Hey, amen.
Said something about, you know, the Lord does something for you. And by that time, the Lord smacked up by the back of the head and said, hey, don't you remember Friday?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, he's so good. That's what we don't realize.
Right.
But he's so good.
Amen.
We all deserve a bit of it.
Amen.
I mean, brother comes down here, he comes up here from Louisiana to come give us something.
Yeah.
We don't deserve a bit of that. And I appreciate you, brother, for coming down here. You felt my heart today. I needed it.
Yes.
The Lord knows all about it. And I thank the Lord that he's so good, doesn't he?
That's right.
He always makes a way, regardless of what I don't do or don't see.
Right.
And I think we're just being a good God to us.
Amen. I want to tell you, something never happened and it happens. That sounds like Him. Amen. That sounds like Him. Amen. That sounds pretty familiar, as a matter of fact. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. 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 That's all right. I think we've got there. There was something in me that was hungry for something. I believe we got served it. Amen. Don't you ever think that you're not important to the body of Christ. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you do for a living. I don't care what you think you can't do. If you can come in and lift up the name of the Lord, you've got brothers and sisters that need it. I don't mean want it. I mean need it. Need it. And so I encourage you. I encourage you. Purpose in your heart to bring something to the house of God and see if not only you get a blessing, but others around you. Amen. It's good. Now, I believe it's time for us to move on to the preaching of the Word of God. And I am going to ask you to turn in your Bible to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians, I'll read a couple of verses in chapter 4. Now, I have several other verses I may read from throughout the Scriptures, but we're going to center here on Ephesians chapter 4. I'll follow right behind it, as a matter of fact, with a couple of verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So Ephesians chapter 4, and then I'll read a couple of verses from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and then we'll begin. Now, as you find your place, again, I realize this may be different from your normal customs, and so just bear with me, but if you will, if you'll rise for simply to reverence the Word of God and the reading of the Word of God and the book of Ephesians, and I'll wait for you. I want to make sure that you have your place. Okay, I see you. Most of you have risen here, and I assume you've found your place. Ephesians chapter 4. I want to read verses 17 to 19, especially looking at verse 18. And Paul here is, of course, writing to the church of Ephesus. And in verse 17, he says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth," that means from now on, "walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness." Turning back to 2 Corinthians in chapter 4, we read simply verses 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who's the image of God, should shine unto them." And you may be seated. What's on my heart to preach to you? Well, it wasn't what I came here to preach to you. I thought I was going a completely different direction, and about after I'd eaten and went home, I felt what I had for you drying up on the vine. And I'm familiar with that feeling by now, and anybody that's preached very much is. When the Lord says it's not the way, it's best to listen to Him. And I've settled upon this. I believe is where I need to go. I'd like to preach to you something about blindness. We read here, the first place we read about the blindness of their heart. And the second, the blindness of their mind. And you may think that that's already well covered, that the Scriptures speak a lot about blind men and the healing of the blind, and that's good, and it's part of what we'll go into. But I want to preach specifically about what blind men cannot see. There are things that blind men cannot see. If you're here today and you're lost, what I would like to happen to you tonight is for the Holy Ghost to reach into your heart as He had to reach into mine and correct your arrogance. Right. Amen. Yes. Because the lost world, the entire lost world, thinks they can see. But the Scriptures are plain that the lost cannot see. It's not a matter of choosing not to see. They cannot see. And they cannot see because they are blinded. And it does speak to the blinding of the eyes, but it's speaking of spiritual eyes.
And it's why I chose these two sections, because it makes it very clear with the blindness of their minds and the blindness especially of the heart. For the heart speaks to the very character of who a person is. It speaks to everything. It's body, soul, spirit, everything, very innermost parts of a man. I liked in Sunday school how we got into that word bowels. Bowels mean more than your physical intestines. It means the innermost parts. The bowels of a ship are where the power plants are. Amen. The bowels. And so your heart is referred to sometimes as the bowels. It's the very innermost part. Why can a sinner not see? Because he's blind in his heart. But we already covered why this morning. What I want to describe to you tonight, if you are lost, is you yourself. What you cannot see. If you are saved, you'll remember these times when you could not see. If you are unsure, if you're in a place where you doubt, listen close. Because if I describe you tonight, then you're blind and you cannot see. First thing I'll tell you that blind men cannot see is blind men cannot see light. It's that simple. It's just that simple. Blind men cannot see light. And we know that light is truth. And Jesus said, I am the light. And so we wonder sometimes why our associates and our children and our relatives and our friends and people we know down at the church house, why they can't seem to do right. And why every time that we turn around, they're back in trouble again. And the answer is very simple. They're blind. And they cannot see light. They cannot understand. They cannot understand that good is greater than evil. They cannot understand that evil bears evil consequences. They are blind in their hearts. They are blind in their minds. And they cannot see to do right. They cannot see to walk a right path because they are blind and they cannot see the light. And though you lay out the path before them and describe to them the footsteps of a good man, they will not walk in the pathways of God. They will not walk after righteousness because they are blind and they cannot see the light. And before I was saved, there were times I thought I would do better. There are times I thought I would be a better man, a better person. And I always failed. And if you are lost and without God, I will assure you that you will never get better. You will never get better. You have to be born again, not get better. There's no prescription in all of the scriptures for a sinner to get better. God does not want you to get better. He wants to kill you. Amen. He wants to kill the old man. The old man has to die. He can't get better. He has to die. You have to be a new creature. The old one will never get better. But I wanted to be better because I couldn't see the light. And a blind man cannot see the light, cannot see truth, cannot understand why things turn out the way they do. And if they know someone who seems like they can never go good for very long, that they're always blown off course just as soon as the wind comes by. I want to help you tonight. They're blind. They're blind. Their heart is blind. What else blind men cannot see? And again, you've heard my voice. You know I probably won't go long tonight. But again, I want to describe you if you're lost. And I want to make it clear to you one way or the other if you have doubts. Blind men not only cannot see light, but because they cannot see light, they cannot see objects as they really are. That's right. They do not perceive things as they really are. And that means they have no discernment. I am concerned about people who call themselves Christians, who are church members, who have no spiritual discernment. That bothers me. Because if I'm telling you blind people do not see things as they really are, That means children of God who can see should see things as they really are. I'm afraid that a lot of the children of God have poor spiritual eyesight. But I'm speaking beyond having poor spiritual eyesight and speaking of having no spiritual eyesight. I understand you probably do have a difficult time at times discerning everything as it really is. But if you're a child of God, you should be able to, as it is needed, as it is necessary, discern things as they really are.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
I include men. If you're a child of God and some predator comes around your house and you've got children, I believe you can rely on God to let you see that predator and let you see what you need to do to keep your house safe. Amen. I believe you can rely on the Lord to help you have wisdom to be able to spot men for who they are. Amen. But if you are lost and without God, you're going to miss it. Amen. And things will creep in around your house, and no matter how much you say, I'm a good man and I'll watch out for my family, you're going to miss it.
Yeah.
Because blind men can't see.
Right.
And they can't see people for how they are. And that especially is true of seeing men. And I'm talking about all of mankind, men and women. I remember before I was saved, I hung around a bunch of singer-songwriter types, and I thought some of them, boy, they're just so deep. They just sing about such deep things. And then after I got saved, I found out they wasn't deep. They're just a bunch of whining, crying hippies that couldn't be told what to do. They were shallow as they could be.
Yeah.
See, I couldn't discern men for who they were. But after you get saved, you'll know them for who they are. Amen. And if you can't tell one way or the other, you got a problem. Because blind men cannot discern men for who they are. They'll go by feelings. I mean, isn't that what blind people do? Isn't that what they do? They'll go by feelings. No matter if they're using a stick, if they're using their hands, they have to go by feelings because they can't discern. And if you're lost, all you've got is to go by your feelings. Feels like he's a pretty good fella. You know what? My heart went pity-pat, so that must be the girl I'm supposed to marry. That's a lack of discernment.
That's right.
I believe if you're a child of God, you'll know who you ought to marry.
Right.
Amen. I trust God that much. You should be able to discern some things. But blind men cannot discern men as they really are. Can I tell you something else? Blind men can't discern the world as it really is. That's right. Blind men will make judgments about this world not knowing what they're doing. And men who will chase after a good job, so-called, because it makes some money. Can I tell you something? There's more to a good job than how much money it pays.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
I've got a good job right now. If I have to leave town, they say, okay. If I have to stay out all week because I've got a revival at church, they say, okay, that's a good job. Amen. But a blind man can't discern that. He goes on things that aren't true because he can't see what is true. A blind man can't discern the world for what it is. And he'll say, well, there ain't nothing wrong with that music. It sounds pretty good to me. And my grandpa listened to it. And I'll tell you, old poison's still poison. Amen. And if that music's all about drunkenness and adultery, it does not fit with the Word of God and cannot fit in the heart of a child of God. But you can't understand that, you see, if you're blind in your heart. Because you can't see the world as it really is. And a preacher can stand here and preach about country music or rock music or whatever kind of music, and you'll just turn him off and say, that preacher can't see, because in reality, you can't see. The blind man cannot see the world as it really is. How many parents have tried to caution their children time and time again about what to do and what not to do and looked in frustration seeing the looks on the faces of their children and saying they don't understand what I'm telling them? Well, it's true, because a blind man cannot see the world. And I'm not just telling the children to listen to their parents, although I do tell the children to listen to their parents. But I'm trying to tell adults as well. If you hear the Word of God And all it sounds like to you is don't. Perhaps the problem lies in the eyesight of your heart and your failure to discern the world for the dangerous and wicked place that it is. If you believe that this world is an okay place and you can make your way in it, you're blind. You cannot see this world for the wicked den of iniquity which it is. If you have a love for anything in this world, I question you why. Considering it for the children of God, this place is not our home. It's not our city. It's not the place where we have our citizenship. And we know and discern, if we are children of God, that this world will be consumed in a fervent heat. And there is nothing on this earth that is not already, in the eyes of God, a pile of ashes. And why would a child of God care about a handful of ashes? And if you see it any other way, you got a blind spot. Blind in the heart. Cannot discern men. Cannot discern the world. And a blind man, spiritually, cannot discern the church. Cannot see the church. When I was lost, I looked at the church and I said, I'm just as good as that bunch of hypocrites. Any of y'all ever say that?
Yes.
Well, I hear people say it to me now. Because as we're talking about today, soon they find out you're a preacher, they preach to you.
Yes.
And the doctrine they preach is the doctrine of self-justification.
Yes.
I'm just as good as them hypocrites. And I'll tell them, you're right. One hypocrite's as good as another. Amen. That's a sorry measuring stick to measure yourself by. Amen. It's a mighty little man that can hide in the shadow of a hypocrite. Amen. But a blind man in his heart can't discern the church. All he sees is a bunch of holier-now hypocrites. And he's wrong. He's wrong because he can't see the light. He can't know the truth. But when I got saved, I loved all them people all of a sudden. All them people I didn't like before, all of a sudden I liked them. I wanted to hang around them. I wanted to find out what they knew.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
I got hanging around these children of God, and they got singing songs that I ought to have knew. I grew up in church, but I got away from them. I never did really like them as a kid, because, you know, I was blind. And I got around them, and I wanted to sing like them. I wanted to learn what them shape notes were all about. I wanted to learn about the Bible. And when they said the book of Esther or Habakkuk, I don't know who, and I wanted to look it up and find it. I read that Bible about four times in my first year after I was saved. And it wasn't because I was on a program. I wasn't on a discipleship program. It's because I fell in love with it. Amen. But blind folks can't discern the church for what it is. They look at it like a social club.
Right.
They look at it like a place where people hang out three times a week. They look at it like it's a building. They look at it every wrong way you can look at it. And they never understand it's the body of Christ. It's the bride of Christ. It's the love of God. God loved the church, gave himself for it. That's where you want to be. Amen. It's in the middle of the church. Amen. The church is beautiful to a child of God. It ain't drudgery. Amen. I know a while back it caught on with a bunch of places that they were saying every fifth Sunday we're going to take a break. We're going to take a Sunday night off because it's fifth Sunday. I thought, that's ridiculous. If my boss came around where I was at and said, you know, y'all got to take a break every morning, take a lunch break, then take an evening break, and come Friday, I'm going to give you a break from that, and we'll just skip the evening break. I'd have thought he'd lost his mind. But people do it in churches. And ever so often, they'll say, we'll take a break, won't have church. Church is the break. Amen. You know why they call it a sanctuary? It's a safe place. We get tired of all that filthiness out in the world, and we want to come in with our brothers and sisters and have a good time in the Lord. Amen. Amen. Blind folks can't see that. If you can't see what I'm talking about, maybe you're blind. Maybe you're blind. If church is drudgery to you, if it's just somewhere you have to go, I ask you, can you really see the church in all its beauty? Because that's how Christ sees it.
That's right.
Do you really have the mind of Christ? If you hate the church, you don't have the mind of Christ. Amen. It's His love. Amen. But blind men cannot see objects as they really are. Can't see the light. Can't discern things. I'm going to tell you something else. Blind men cannot see motion. That's right. When things are moving, blind folks can't see it. Now, I don't know exactly how I'm going to handle this. I'm just going to try. A blind man can't tell if a man's coming or going. He can't. He can't see. But I've seen people in a church that one of the members of the church was steady falling away, steady working their way out the back door, and they couldn't see it. Got surprised every time somebody fell out of church. Listen to me. If you're a child of God, you ought to be able to see that.
Right.
If you're a child of God and you've got a brother or a sister that's taken in a fault, you should have discernment that that brother or sister is moving away from God.
Right.
It should trouble you and you should know it.
Yes.
Not because somebody called out to you in a gossip circle, but because the Spirit of God in you knows it. Amen. If the Holy Ghost knows it, why don't you?
That's right.
I mean, I've got that question for you. You should have discernment to know when somebody's moving closer to God. Amen. You ought to know that. You know, when you got a brother or sister down there praying, and you see that they're trying to find a better walk with God, you ought to know that. And now's where I'm trying to help those that ain't sure where they're at. Because I ask you to question yourself. Is that plain to you? When you see a brother or sister slipping away? You know where the scriptures say, if a brother is overtaken in a fault, it says what? You or what? Spiritual. Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Why is it as ye who are spiritual? Because everybody else is blind. Because everybody else can't see anyhow. They don't know. And that brother that's been sitting there on the pew and all you see is he's there. And you don't see that what's going on in his eyes is there's a glaze coming over and he's getting jaded. And he's getting worn out. And he's losing spiritual battles. It's more than just the preacher who's supposed to see that.
That's right.
It's all the children of God who ought to know that. Blind people can't see men coming and going. Because they can't see motion, it ain't just people. They can't see dangers approaching.
That's right. Yeah.
A blind man will get slammed, run over by a train.
Yep.
Or a car or anything else. Can't see it. You should never be blindsided. You should see danger. Spiritual danger. When it pokes its head in that door and wants to sing on the platform, it's more than just a preacher that ought to be able to see it. That thing's got a long snout full of teeth.
Amen. Amen.
I'm telling you that there's always danger around sheep. Always. There's always predators around sheep. It's more than just a preacher that ought to see. Because if you ain't blind, you've got a duty to see. Amen. Has anything ever got you in a spot where you couldn't really describe it? It ain't your skin crawling, but it's something like that. It's not a tingle on the back of your neck, but it's something like that. It's something you can't describe. Something inside you hollering, danger, 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 danger.
Yes.
That means you can see.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
A child of God ought to see danger.
Yes.
If you got children at home, when they want to go somewhere with their friends, there's something in you that ought to ring true or false.
Right.
Now, all their friends, hopefully, ain't bad. Hopefully.
Right.
What if they are? You ought to know. What if your children don't have the discernment? Well, you ought to.
That's right.
Amen.
Yes.
And a child of God ought to be able to count on that. Why? Because we can see. So we ought to be able to discern dangers approaching. Dangers to your family. Dangers to your church. Amen. Dangers to your own personal well-being in the Lord, I'm talking about. When you don't read your scriptures, you haven't prayed in the last week or two, it ought not be your preacher's job to remind you. It ought to be something inside you knocking on you and saying, hey, you need to get back on track. When your body temperature starts getting colder and colder toward God instead of hotter and hotter, ought to be an alarm go off inside you. You ought to see the danger approaching. Amen. Spiritual eyesight. But lost folks can't see none of that. That's all just gobbledygook to them. I remember being lost as a child, sitting on pews and thinking, this all sounds like a bunch of hoodoo and witchcraft. Well, it does to a spiritually blind person. Because they can't know the Spirit of God. They don't know anything about the Spirit of God. It's all just stuff to them. I'm going to move over here. About the Spirit of God. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, starting in verse 9, I'm going to read a few scriptures. It says, but as it is written, I have not seen nor heard, neither entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. Most times people stop right there and say, see, we can't know nothing. And that's because they're willfully ignorant. And they won't read the rest of the Bible. The very next verse says, but, God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. Amen. We're not left in the dark. We're not left in the blind. We can see. Says, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, say the Spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. How many of you claim to be indwelled with the Holy Ghost? Well, do you know the things of God? The deep things of God? Has He revealed to you, not only from this pulpit, I know your preacher preaches them, I listen to him, but not only through him, but has He revealed to you personally deep things out of the Word of God. Amen. It says, now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us by God. Amen. That is you who should know this. Not without, not by having it spoon-fed to you across the pulpit, but because the Spirit of God in you will reveal it to you. Amen. If you have eyes, you can see. Say, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth. Amen. You don't have to go through a discipleship program on Tuesday nights for 4 months before you become a member of a church. But which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness unto him. Can I ask you something? When a preacher preaches about the Holy Ghost, does it ring your bell in there? Is there something ringing right with it? Or does it just sound like a bunch of mumbo jumbo to you? Which spirit's in you? If it's the Spirit of God, you'll see. You'll perceive. You'll see the moving of the Spirit. If you've only got the spirit of the natural man, it's foolishness to you.
Right.
Have you ever been in a meeting where the Spirit of God was so there and so present that you could feel the Spirit of God and things got quiet? And some harebrained something stood up and testified about how bad the devil was. Do you know what that is? That's the spirit of the natural man. That's foolishness. That is a blind person pretending to see. If you have the Spirit of God, you'll know not only when to speak, but also when to shut up.
Amen.
I appreciate the fact that when we ask for testimonies, there were a couple that needed to testify that testified, and those who didn't need to kept quiet. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Amen. And the ones who kept quiet are just as important as the ones that testify, if they're following the Spirit of God. And the children of God can see that. They can perceive that.
Yes, sir.
But the blind know nothing. Cannot see the moving of the Spirit of God in John chapter 3. It's what that Jesus was speaking of when he spoke to Nicodemus. And he said, the wind bloweth where it listeth. And now here's the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. And so is everyone that's born of the Spirit. So you don't know nothing about him, Nicodemus. You don't know nothing about him. You got to be born of the Spirit. Born of the Spirit. Do you see and perceive the moving of the Spirit of God? Is it something that to you, you can feel the difference when there's a presence of God in a service? Can you really tell? Or are you going by your feelings? Now, a lot of people go by the feelings. That's what blind people do. But if you are spiritually awakened, if you have eyesight, you can tell the moving of the Spirit Himself. I want to read you something here in John. In John chapter 16, verse 13, I'm about to wrap it up. He said, this is Jesus speaking. In chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus is speaking concerning the Holy Ghost who was to come. It says, howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. Thank God. Thank God. You can rely on Him to tell you which way to go. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. Now, this next part I've got underlined. Do you know what else the Holy Ghost will do for you? It says, and He will show you things to come. What are you talking about, preacher? End time stuff? No. No. He'll show you the end of your decisions. He'll show you whether that's a good road or a bad road.
Right.
And when you see a preacher stand up here and preach to you about how wicked a thing it is to take a 6 or 7 year old girl and strip her down half naked and put her in a beauty pageant, the reason why he can preach that is because the Holy Ghost has shown him things to come. And he knows that what's going to happen, if you won't hear it, is you're going to have a 14 or 15 year old daughter come home pregnant with some person from a whole other nation, and you're going to grieve and pine away over your children, and he's trying to give you a warning because the Holy Ghost has shown him things to come.
Amen.
That's spiritual eyesight. And if you won't have it and won't hear it and shut them out, say that mean old preacher, then you're blind. Blind. Having the understanding darkened. Being alienated from the life of God. You know what that means? Alienated from the life of God? You're not God's. You're not saved. You're not going to heaven. You're not worshiping the Lord. You're just making a racket. Through the ignorance that is in them. That's a lack of knowledge. Because see, blind men can't know. They can't know the things that are in the light. Cannot. It's not possible. Because of the blindness of their heart. The only thing I've got left for you. I do have a cure for blindness listed here. But it only matters if you're blind. If you can see, you don't even need to hear what's next. Because you can see. But if you're blind, you desperately need to hear this last part. It says, and there was delivered unto him, speaking of Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 4. Jesus came into the synagogue. And it says, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. It's Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind. Recovering of sight to the blind. Amen. To set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. In your ears. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if you've heard the word of God, and if you've heard the Spirit calling, and if you've heard from on high and heard the call, and you know you are blind, then this day this scripture can be fulfilled because this same Christ still has the power to give and restore eyesight, to restore seeing to the blind, and he can let you see tonight. I can't save you. I can't give you the gift of sight. I cannot lay my hands on you and cause you to see spiritually. But there is one who can. And we've been singing of him and preaching of him. And we're in his congregation tonight. And the Lord Jesus Christ can save you. He can cause you to see. All these things which I said blind men cannot see, you can see. You can see, but only if your eyes are opened by the power of Jesus Christ through the Holy Ghost. Tonight, will you hear him? Tonight, will you come? Tonight, will you come and call on him? Tonight, would you be saved? Would you open your eyes to him tonight? Brother Joel.
Well, the Lord spoke to hearts.